We're doing the Ein Yaakov, we're up to page 214, Daf Samach Gimel in the Gemara. And the Talmud is quoting to us the speeches the rabbis gave when they finally had an opportunity to convene. In spite of the Roman persecution in Yavne, the people of Yavne opened up their homes and their city to the rabbis to teach and set up an academy. And that's what was called Kerem B'Yavne, the vineyard of Yavne, because it was set up in that straight rows like a vineyard. And so when the rabbis started teaching, they all began with the rule of Potchin B'Chvod Achsanya. The rule is that we always begin with showing our appreciation to the host. And so the rabbis began each speech with the honor of the host, with showing their appreciation and the appreciation one should have to a host. So Patach Rabbi Nechemia b'chvod achsanya, Rabbi Nechemia also began his speech with showing honor to the hosts, v'darash, and he taught the following. Mai dichtiv, what do we learn from the verse? Vayomer Shaul el Hakeni, King Saul is about to fight the war against Amalek, and he sends word to the family of Yisro of Jethro, and he tells them, Lechu suru ridu mitoch Amaleki, go, turn, descend from the midst of the Amaleki, penosifechaimo, lest I kill you together with them. I'm about to wage a war against them. Vata asita chesed im kol beit Yisrael, and you have done kindness with all of Israel. Yisrael did kindness with all of Israel. Balot dvarim kal vachomer. We can understand, we could derive simply. Uma yitro shelo kirev et Moshe ela lichvodo. Where did Yisro do kindness? He invited Moshe in. Moshe was on the run. He was running away from Pharaoh. He came to Midian. And Yisro invites him in. And the truth is, he has his own interest at heart. What does he tell the girls? He says, maybe he will take one of you as a shidduch. No one around here wants to marry you. I've left the pagan ways of the Midianites. And we're not going to find a spouse for you here. You met a guy who's come in from Egypt. Maybe he's going to be interested in one of you. So he's inviting Moshe in, and he has a clear thought that maybe something good will come, but he's interested in his own good. And yet, when we describe the kindness he did to Moshe, we see that King Saul, generations later, describes it as the kindness that you did with all of Israel. Because you took in our leader when he was on the run. They didn't even know he was the leader. They did it for Yisrael did it for his own good when he took Moshe in. And yet, generations later, it's described as you did kindness with all of Israel. Someone who takes in a Talmud Chacham into his home. He gives him to eat, he gives him to drink, he lets him enjoy his facilities. Much more so is that noteworthy is that something which for generations we should show our appreciation for. So here he's beginning his speech with a show of appreciation to the people of Yavne, who took in all the rabbis who came in for that conference or that opportunity to get together in spite of the Roman persecution and learn and teach. Rabbi Yossi also began with his speech with showing appreciation and honoring the host, and he said the following. The Torah gives us a commandment, Lo titaev edomi ki achicha hu. Do not hate, do not despise a person from Edom. At the end of the day, they are your relatives. Lo titaev mitzri, do not despise an Egyptian, ki ger hayita me'artzo. For you were a sojourner, you were a guest in his land. We were a guest in their land. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. We could easily derive from here, umay mitzrim shelo kirvu et Yisrael ela letzorech atzman. The Egyptians actually, when they took us in, there was a famine in Israel, we know, next week's parsha. So everyone goes down to Egypt, and the Egyptians, their interest is to benefit themselves. Shneimar, the verse says, when Pharaoh takes them in, he tells Yosef, v'im yadata v'yishbam anshei chayil, v'samtam sorei mikna al asher li. You go choose the men of valor from your family, and let them take control of my assets. So you see, Pharaoh takes in the Jews, but he's taking them in with the hope that he's going to benefit from it. And yet, generations later, the Torah says, do not despise the Egyptians, because you were guests in their land. One who hosts a Talmud Chacham in his home, he feeds him, he gives him to drink, he lets him enjoy his his home, his facilities, alachat kama b'chama, how much more so is that noteworthy? And he derived the same idea, but from a different verse. Patach Rebbeleizer b'no Rabbi Yosef Aglili b'chvod achsania v'derash. Rabbi Eliezer, son of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, also began his speech with showing appreciation to the host. And here we see that every speaker should show his appreciation for the host. Sometimes you come to the Sheva Brachos and it's beautiful and they set everything up nicely. And the first speaker shows his appreciation and everyone else assumes he did it already. You see, the rabbis didn't work that way. Every speaker began their speech with showing appreciation to the host. Now, sometimes people begin their speech and they say, you're supposed to show appreciation to the host. So thank you, host. And then they go on to their speech. That's not the idea. You don't have to say you're supposed to show appreciation. It's like, you know, it's like the guy who I told him, go tell your wife you love her. And he comes to his wife and says, the rabbi said I should tell you I love you. I love you. Yeah, okay, you just took all the air out of it, right? So, Rav Eliezer, son of Rav Yosef Aglili, also used the same formula, began with honoring the host, and he taught the following. It says that when they were carrying the Aron, when the Aron was brought back after the Philistines captured it. Now we're going to learn about that. We're going to learn about that soon in the book of Shmuel. Next week, Be'ezat Hashem. During the period of Eli and Shmuel, so there was once a war with the Philistines where the Jews took the Aron with them to war and it was captured by the Philistines. And then when it came back, so there was a man named Oved Edom, and he hosted the ark at one point, and his house was blessed for it. So he said the following. It says in the verse, "Berach Hashem et bet Oved Edom ba'avur Aron Elokim." All the women in his house had became pregnant, and they all had 6 kids at a shot. Something unusual happened in his house. And here you see that's called a blessing, right? Oved Edom Hagiti. Oved Edom, he lived in Kiryat Yarim in Telstone. So
he is Philistine?
He was not Philistine. This was when the Aron came back to Jewish territory.
In Beit Shemesh or?
So in Beit Shemesh, they didn't honor the ark properly, and many people died. And then they, in King David's time, they tried to take it up to the temple, and en route, Uzzah reached out to support the Aron, and he dropped dead. So they said, okay, if a guy dropped dead when he's taking the Aron, we're not bringing it up to Jerusalem right now. And they parked in Kiryat Yarim, and they left it by Oved Edom. And then King David got word that something unusual happened by Oved Edom. All the women were blessed. His whole family was blessed. Suddenly, his family was blessed sixfold. Why only 6 times? So, okay, that deserves. Every woman became pregnant with 6 babies, right?
Something in Egypt like that too, supposedly, right?
So, okay, there's a discussion why 6, but okay. So the Medrash says something we don't exactly understand. The Medrash says that a woman's stomach has 7 compartments. 3 for boys, 3 for girls, and 1 for a hermaphrodite or a tumtum. And so 6 is going to be a blessing. 7 is already a tumtum is a baby that's born with a skin covering his organ. But I think today people do have 7 babies and they all come out okay. I mean, it's been done.
Technology and science where it can happen, but I think the record is 7 or something, 8.
No, much
for
an
mom. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, there is 8. Okay, so I don't know. Back to our Gemara. Balo drin kal vachomer. Uma Aron shelo achal v'shata ala kibed v'rivet zefanav. The ark didn't need anything, right? Didn't drink anything. All you had to do was keep the area clean. Kach, and he was blessed so because he hosted it. Hamarech tamid chacham betoch beito machlo mashkeo maneo min chasav lachat kamav chamav. Someone takes in a tamid chacham, gives him to eat and drink and enjoy his facilities, how much more so will he be blessed? May bracha shebircho. So the Talmud asks, what blessing did Oved Edom receive? Amav Yudah Bar Zavda, zochamot v'shmona kaloteha. The mother-in-law, Oved Edom's wife, and her 8 daughters-in-law, they had 8 sons, so her 8 daughters-in-law, sheyaldu shisha shisha b'keres echad, each one became pregnant and had six kids at a shot. Shenemar, Pulati Hashemini, Ki Berecho Elokim, V'chtiv, Kolelem Oved Edom, Hema Uvnehem V'achehem, Yishchayil, Bekoach La'avoda, Shishim U'shnayim L'Oved Edom. So the Talmud derives it from a verse in Chronicles. When it describes the children of Oved Edom, so it says, each one, the eighth child was Pe'ulati. And then it says a total was 62. So how do you get from 8 to 62? So the rabbis had a tradition that the nine of them each had six. So that's 54, meaning the eight sons plus the father. So each one had six, that's 54. Plus the original eight sons. So that's the original eight sons of Oved Edom. So that's how you end up with 62. Okay. If they didn't have a tradition, we wouldn't have figured this out. I don't see how we could have figured it out from the verse, but okay, that's what our sages say, that Chronicles is a book that's really the borderline between the written law and the oral law, right? It's the last book, and that's a book which was really written in a way that it's almost like a Mishnah. You can't figure out anything in Chronicles, or almost anything in Chronicles, unless you have tradition. It was all written in code form. You read Chronicles, the first 12 chapters is all names. What do you do with all those names? So we have a tradition that sometimes you have two verses of names, they're all describing the same person. And this happens often in Chronicles and Divrei Hayamim. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yavin Arevi, Kol Adochek Tashah, Shah Dochakto. Here we have a rule, and it's a formula for life. Someone who tries to overcome the time, the setting. And this is a concept we saw in Koheles and Ecclesiastes. Sometimes the timing is wrong, but a person decides he's going to do it anyways. So then a person should know that the timing is more powerful than the person. Anyone who tries to overcome the timing will overcome him. May Avshalom, we derive it from Avshalom. He decided he wants to be king. His father was still alive. Who ended up dead? He ended up dead. His father didn't end up dead. But he was pressured. He wanted to be king now. And whoever takes a step back and says, okay, the timing's not right. Even though I want it, the timing's not right. Sha'a umedet lo. So then the time will, he will ultimately master the time. His time will come and he will come become master of the time and the time won't overtake him. And that we learn midirabba v'rav Yosef. We have the story of Rabba and Rav Yosef, which we will... we have time still. This is a very important story. Rabba and Rav Yosef were two top sages, two top luminaries in their day. Rav Yosef was blind, and Rav Yosef had a phenomenal memory. He remembered a massive amount of Mishnayos and Braisos of the oral tradition. And Rabba also knew a tremendous amount of the oral tradition, but his strength was in his sharpness, that he could say, okay, you see this word, it says here, and that word, and figure things out logically, and his logical depth was phenomenal. So when the chief rabbi passed away, so then there was a question, who should be appointed at the top? The Rav Yosef Sinai, Rav Yosef was called Sinai, that was his nickname, because he was such, he had such a phenomenal capacity to quote from the oral law. The Rabba Okerarim, and Rabba was called the one who uproots mountains because he was so sharp that with his logic, so to speak, he could uproot a mountain. It's the Chlu Shaita. So they had a situation where they needed a chief rabbi, and it doesn't say what happened to the former one, whether he passed away, or he was exiled, or he was being chased or incarcerated by the Romans. Just says they needed a new chief rabbi. Shalchu Lehatam, so they sent word to Israel, Sinai V'Okerarim Ezemem Kodim. If we have two rabbis, one is a master of tradition, what's called Sinai. He knows oral quotes like Rav Yosef. And the other one is so sharp. Who should take precedence in being chief rabbi? Shalchu lehu. So they sent back word from Israel. Sinai kodem. The one with the massive tradition, he takes precedence. Shakol tzachin lemarech itaya. Because at the end of the day, everyone needs the one who has grain. Grain is the simple thing, but at the end of the day, everyone needs it. It's a sustenance of life. So if he gathered quotes like no one else, so he should be the chief rabbi. Afal pichen lo kibel alav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef refused to take the throne. Rav Yosef said, I don't agree to be chief rabbi. Why didn't he agree to be chief rabbi? We'll see Be'ezrat Hashem next week.